I invite the congregation to stand as you are able. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish away. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Readings from Holy Scripture, beginning with Judges chapter 16. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice, and they said, "Our God has given Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson, that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines from my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Reading from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand. The reading from the gospel today is a correction. It's actually Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 through 31. Different reading than is printed in the bulletin. Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. We speak together our summary of Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation today is from Matthew chapter 27. What does it mean to add insult to injury? What does it mean to add insult to injury? Generally, it means that something is said or done, something said or done that makes a bad situation even worse for somebody, adding insult to injury. You remember Samson? They had shaved off his hair. They gouged out his eyes so he couldn't see. They bound him with bronze shackles, tossed him in prison, and gave him the hard labor of grinding wheat. Indeed, the Philistines had captured him. And if that weren't cruel enough, all that he had already experienced, there was the mockery. While the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a sacrifice to their god, Dagon, they decided to make a spectacle of him publicly too. 3,000 looked on from the rooftop, and here they brought out Samson in this wearied state to entertain them, to be for them a bald blind. He was a dancing joke. A clear case of adding insult to injury. But God is not mocked, and neither is the one he chooses and anoints to rescue his people. So he saw to it that Samson was placed between these two pillars of the building. He saw to it that he had the strength to push as he placed one hand on one pillar, the right and the left on the other. Pushed him, and as you can imagine, the whole building coming down on the unsuspecting Philistines. And he died as well. But in his death, he won a great victory. As Scripture tells us, he killed more that day than he had in any battles. But what about David? As you recall, David was a young, red-faced shepherd boy. He didn't have any armor. He didn't have any training to speak of. What did he have? A shepherd's pouch. He had 5 smooth stones, a sling. As you remember, they were going to give him a sword and some armor. It was too big for him. So he goes out without sword or armor, right, to face this well-armed giant Goliath. And Goliath thought he was a joke. Made fun of him. Can you imagine as he's saying, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" As recorded in 1 Samuel. A case of adding insult to injury. But God is not mocked. Neither is the one he chooses and anoints to rescue his people. You see, the joke was on Goliath and the Philistines. God gave David courage, faith, and expert aim. And all he needed was one smooth stone. And he showed quite quickly that the joke was on Goliath. And then what does he do? He slices off the fallen giant's head and carries it away as a trophy. God is not mocked, neither is the one he chooses and anoints to rescue the world. So as we continue in this series, the crucified king, and we see today the king being mocked, what is actually going on here with the mockery of Jesus? God's anointed, God's the Messiah, the king. What's going on with this mockery of the one, he who comes to save, to rescue the world? He has made a laughing stock, a public spectacle. You imagine the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, are taunting him as they strip him and crown him with these thorns and put this mock scepter in his hand and the mock robe. They really get a big laugh out of it as they kneel mockingly in front of him. Oh, hail, King of the Jews, striking him on the head, adding insult to injury. God is not mocked. But yet, where is the part in this scene where God's anointed had had enough? And where God employs through Christ his divine strength in his right and left hand to get revenge? Where is it? It would certainly be justified. Where is it that the enemies of Jesus don't know who they're messing with? And that he turns the mockery on their head somehow. We're so used to payback, aren't we? Where's the payback here? No, this isn't a victory for Jesus. We read in verse 31 of Matthew 27, they put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. There is no fight from Jesus, no argument in the face of this mockery. He doesn't employ divine power and get revenge. He humbly submits to these insults. He doesn't cry out or lash out at those who mock him. And this is, believe it or not, good news for you and me, and for all who've mocked God in our lives. In order to save sinners, Jesus must bear all of the disrespect. He must bear the blasphemy, the mockery, the jeers, the spitting, the beating. He takes it for all of us. If you would imagine his divine power being exacted at that moment, and how we deserve judgment through his divine power. But yet, he endures. Has there ever been a time when maybe you rolled your eyes and scoffed? That Old Testament stuff is outdated. That teaching doesn't apply to me. You know, did the Bible really say? Did God really say? Does the Bible really say? Did Jesus really say? How many times have we come to him as some cosmic order taker? Waiting to have our order filled. Making demands. Rather than approaching him as the King of Kings. Well, we've taken sin too lightly. Everybody makes mistakes. You see, we are estranged from God because of our sin. The relationship is destroyed, it's ruined. Can never be repaired or reestablished through any of our efforts. despite how good we may think we are. And so when we see Jesus enduring the beatings, the mockery, the insults, the injury, we see this condition in which we find ourselves as a sinner by nature who hates God. And yet here is this Savior, this King, willingly and silently bearing it all. And the love of God shines through in this dark moment. God in the person of Jesus is indeed mocked in Scripture, as we've read. But He's willing to be mocked in order to rescue you and me. He absorbs into His holy flesh the mockery, the disrespect, the sin that can be dished out. He takes it to the cross and to the grave. And He destroys it. Then He rises from the dead. Not for payback or revenge, or to mock anyone as though He needs to do that as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. But what does He do instead? He proclaims peace and reconciliation. Peace and reconciliation. He willingly went to the cross and the grave to destroy sin and to spare us from Satan's eternal mocking of us as His children. We imagine back during Christmas when the wise men surrounded the boy Jesus, as recounted in Matthew chapter 2. They fell down and worshipped Him as King of the Jews. But what a greater account here in the Passion which Matthew records. As Jesus is surrounded by these Gentile soldiers, they kneel before Him in mock homage. Hail, King of the Jews! But He receives this with no retribution. This is what He came to the world to do. Yes, indeed, to find glory in being mocked and crucified. So here is our blessed King who is willing to be crowned with ugly thorns to atone for all of our sinful thoughts that we've had against God and about God, so that you and I will have glory and honor. Our blessed King Jesus, He's pleased to be dressed in this scarlet robe, so that we may, through baptism, receive that robe of righteousness which He has won for us. He holds the mock scepter, the reed, in His hand, so that when we receive His precious body and blood at His table, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation, and a kingdom without end. And just as Samson pushed the pillars away, Jesus' hands are outspread on this cross, the left and the right, as He hangs there and dies. He brings down the power of Satan over all of us. He's greater than Samson or David or anyone else who's ever come. And He did this by being beaten and mocked and crucified, so that we, in His resurrection, have a share of the victory. Oh, a share of the victory. So that this Jesus, God in the flesh, who was mercilessly, you hear, mercilessly treated and mocked, so that you and I may be mercifully declared great in God's kingdom. And our response earlier in the service, which makes our liturgy so beautiful,
O Lord, have mercy. Thanks be to God. Open our lips, our mouth will declare your praise. Here we see mercilessness exchanged for mercifulness. And it's all because of Christ, our King. And indeed, we render to him thanks and praise be to God for this most gracious gift. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we continue on page 5 of your worship folder with the responsive canticle. Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. We pray together as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you released many from their bondage to sin, death, and the devil as the healer of nations. But when it came time to release you, the crowd chose a murderer instead. Through our co-crucifixion with you in the waters of our baptism, may we continually be released from our sins as we confess you to be our everlasting King. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, by the patient endurance of your only begotten Son, you beat down the pride of the old enemy. Help us to treasure rightly in our hearts what our Lord has borne for our sakes, that after his example we may bear with patience those things that are adverse to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, as we come before you as your forgiven people, we come in the name of Jesus and ask for your provision for Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor, Les, Glenn, and Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, Brenda, Vicky, Linda, and all those on our hearts and minds whom we mention now, lifting up to you silently. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We sing together Lutheran Service Book Hymn 429. We sing the praise of Him who died.